Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 4, and I will read through verse 15. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold." As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God and most merciful Father, we humbly submit ourselves and fall down before your majesty, asking you from the bottom of our hearts that the seed of your word, now sown among us, may take such deep root that neither the burning heat of persecution cause it to wither, nor the thorny cares of this life choke it, but that as seed sown in good ground, it may bring forth 30, 60, or 100-fold, as your heavenly wisdom has appointed. Amen. There is a risk in starting a six-month series on the parables. To some of you, perhaps to many of you, these parables are so familiar. You have heard them so many times. Chances are, when you were a child, someone read them to you. Since then, you have listened to countless sermons on them, and there is a danger that the moment you hear the first few lines of the parable, it's as if you're hearing an old familiar joke and you're ready just to finish the punchline. And here's the danger, because when you think you already know what Jesus is saying, there is a risk that you are going to miss what Jesus is saying to you today. But if you take a listen to him afresh, you will see that Jesus tells parables to get your attention. He wants to make you think. He wants to provoke a new thought and an unfamiliar perspective. Some of the parables we will look at will move you emotionally. You will resonate with them. Others will trouble you, will bother you. They may even disturb you a little bit. You'll also notice that some of these parables will feel like you are looking at the funny mirrors at the county fair. They distort and show you a caricature, an exaggeration of what you really look like, but you don't like what you see. That's the way some of these parables work. They're the funny mirrors. There's a good chance some of these parables will keep you up at night. They will be the burr in your saddle. They will be the pebble in your shoe. They will bother you. They will haunt you. They will keep you up. And Jesus tells these parables on purpose, and he doesn't tell them for informational purposes. He's not just sharing information with you. He doesn't say, oh, let me tell you an interesting story about a sower in a field, or here's a fascinating tale about a father and two sons. You should know about them. No, he tells these parables on purpose, not for the sake of information, but for the sake of your transformation. He wants to get you moving. He wants a response. The parable begs for a response, an action, an obedience, a changed life. That's what he's after. And every week, you'll notice Jesus is asking the question, what are you going to do about this? Are you ready to listen? Are you open to being addressed by this parable? And is your heart ready to respond in obedience to the will and the word of God? And so at the beginning of this series, I need to make a promise to you. I am not only the one speaking the parables, but I am also being spoken to. I am the one being addressed. Jesus is speaking to me as much as he's speaking to you. And I will do my level best to let Jesus address us, speak to you through the parables in the Gospel of Luke without filter, without adding anything, without subtracting anything, without massaging or adjusting the message to your preferences. I will do my best to read the text carefully, and I will try not to sanitize the words of Jesus. If there is a hard saying, I will not attempt to soften it. If there is a comment or a teaching that I don't like, or I suspect you may not like it, I will let it stand, and I will not in any way try to make Jesus' teaching more palatable. It would be quite ironic, by the way, that you hire a spokesperson for Jesus who then keeps you from hearing the real voice of Jesus. That would be ironic. It would be silly to call someone to explain the scripture who then spends most of his time explaining the scriptures away. That's not why you brought us here. So we will listen and read carefully. And as you'll see this morning, that is what these parables require: a careful reading, a close reading, a detailed and disciplined reading. And then when you get to the bottom of it, you realize there was an examination of the heart, yours and mine. Hope you have your Bible open. Verse 4 of Luke 8. A great crowd is gathering, and people from town after town came to him, and he said in a parable. So Jesus is talking in front of a large crowd, and people from all over are gathering to listen to him teach and preach. And we read here that he speaks in a parable. Now, the word parable means to place something alongside. A parable is something placed alongside something else. He places something familiar alongside something that is perhaps unfamiliar, that you haven't thought about or that you haven't seen, or something that you don't understand, in order that the familiar thing can shed light on the unfamiliar, so that the part that you understand can illumine the part that you do not yet understand. And Jesus will notice something in the landscape or in the surroundings. It can be a mustard seed. It can be a woman who's lost a coin. It can be a stubborn weed. It can be a fig tree. Or Jesus will notice two different kinds of men going into the temple, and he will say, hey, I want you to see something here. I want you to notice the attitude of the one man compared to the attitude of the other man, and let me show you how this illustrates the kingdom of God. The parable is something that comes alongside you, placed alongside you, so that you have a new way of seeing the kingdom, so that you develop a kingdom imagination. And so now, if you look in verse 5, Jesus places alongside your life the parable of a sower. Sower went out to sow a seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. So he takes an image from the daily life of a farmer, from agriculture, something the audience would have been very familiar with, and he says, here is what the kingdom is like. Now, Jesus then tells us the story of the sower. Now, if you look at the text here, it does not say who the sower is. And this is very important to remember as we begin our journey together. If the text doesn't tell you his name, his age, or any other relevant materials, this is not the time to start speculating. Just pay attention to what is here and don't worry about what's not here. You also notice in the text there's nothing about the kind of seed the sower is sowing. It could be mustard seed, is it wheat, is it barley, is it grains, is it olives? We don't really know. And if the detail isn't in the text, Jesus says it's not that important, or it's not that important yet for you to know. Maybe the detail will be clearer later, and maybe it will make sense at the end of the parable, but you don't have to worry about it yet. So just focus here on what happens to the sower seed. Verse 5, a sower went out to sow seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. So right next to where he's sowing, there is a path, and some of the seeds falls on it. Now, I just told you what I just told you about what not to worry about and how not to speculate about unnecessary details. And then I find in several of the commentaries I read this super long discussion about what in the world kind of sower is this, that he would be so undisciplined that his lack of technique makes the seed fall on the sidewalk. And is this seed now just the unavoidable cost of doing business? I think Target calls this shrinkage. It's just what happens. You know, people steal stuff and you lose stuff. But again, that's not the point. The seed is sown, but because people are walking this path, the heavy footwork tramples it underfoot. You notice there's not only a threat from below, but there's also a threat from above. Birds. Birds in the air, they notice it. They see it, they mark it, they devour it, they gobble it up, and the seed never stands a chance. It never has an opportunity to grow. Now, look in verse 6 for the second kind of soil. Some fell on a rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Now, this seed faces a different kind of challenge. It's an environmental challenge. The soil conditions where this seed lands, the rocky section of a field, these conditions are not conducive to growth. So the ground is too hard, it's too parched, it's too dry, and there's no water to be found. So there's no way this can grow. There will be no harvest. Then in verse 7, you see the third kind of soil. Some fall among the thorns. The thorns grew up with it and choked it. So for a seed to thrive, it needs soil that's rich in minerals and clay. It needs like the dark, deep alluvial silt. It needs the red soil of weathered limestone because that holds on to every last drop of moisture. But thorns are resource hogs. They have these deep and aggressive root systems. They suck the ground dry. They deplete the nitrogen. They rob the soil of its minerals, and that's devastating for the seed. So the seed ends up malnourished. It grows stunted and smalls, and eventually the thorns grow up around it, creating a canopy of shade, and they choke out what little life is left in this seed, and it comes to nothing. Jesus continues in verse 8, some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. Now, this is finally the kind of soil that the sower has been looking for. This is it. This is good. This is rich with moisture and minerals. There's growth. And as you notice, there is a massive yield. 100-fold. 100-fold harvest defies all previous calculations. Now, I want to show you something. The parable of the sower then offers us a bit of an unexpected gift. Now, this doesn't always happen, but Jesus offers a little postscript, a P.S., and it's in verse 8. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears, let him hear." Now, this is why it's helpful to have your Bible open. Look at that text closely. What do you notice? You notice that this sentence, this little P.S., this postscript, is set in quotation marks. That sentence, "He who has ears, let him hear," is in quotation marks. Jesus is dropping a hint. He reaches back into the Old Testament and gives you an interpretive key to the parable. And he says, I want to show you a little piece of the puzzle, because if you want to complete it, you're going to need this piece of the puzzle. Now, in the margins, if you have a study Bible, you might notice that Jesus is quoting from Isaiah chapter 6. So whenever you see this, you see that there's a quotation, and you find out where it's from, you have to ask this question. Why is Jesus quoting Isaiah? What is he after? Why this passage, of all the passages that he could have quoted, why has he picked this one? What is the link between the parable of the sower and Isaiah chapter 6? What is Jesus doing with this parable? So if you would turn in your pew Bible, if you don't have a pew Bible, I can't tell you what page it's on, but the blue Bible in the pew, it's on page 571. And I want to show you the text Jesus is quoting in the parable of the sower. Page 571, and this is Isaiah 6, verse 9 through 13. That's the relevant section. Now listen to this. And he said, God said, "Go and say to this people," listen to this, "keep on hearing but do not understand. Keep on seeing but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." And then Isaiah said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitant and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste, and the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled." And then look at the last verse. "The holy seed is its stump." Now, Isaiah 6 is a commissioning passage. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 6, has a vision of God seated high on a throne, glorious and exalted. And in this vision, and this is incredibly important in order to understand the parable of the kingdom, in this vision, Isaiah has a vision face to face with the king of the universe, the living God of the universe, and he catches a glimpse of the king and his unshakable reign and his coming kingdom. But you notice that there's something strange in this text, right? We read it. Remember Jesus' phrase in Luke 8, "Those who have ears, let them hear"? Well, that's a direct quote from Isaiah 6. But here in Isaiah 6, that theme is expanded on. It's given weight and ballast and context. Look at verse 10 of Isaiah 6. What an odd verse. "Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." Now, this is the Lord speaking. And it sounds harsh, doesn't it? What kind of wish is this? Does the Lord really intend to make people's hearts dull? To make the hearts so lame, so heavy that they simply cannot be bothered with the word of the Lord? That can't be what the Lord wants, can it? Does he really want his people's ears to be so heavy that the word would fall on deaf ears? I mean, this can't be serious. This has to be a hyperbole. Maybe he's being ironic. Maybe he's being facetious. Maybe this is some kind of a sick divine way of like reverse psychology. I mean, this is strange talk. Or is Isaiah simply stating the facts and he's predicting the inevitable? Perhaps the lack of hearing and the lack of perceiving, perhaps the resistance to believe and surrender God and to his word has already happened, and maybe Isaiah is just naming that reality. But it seems, if anything here, Isaiah, because of what God has, the word that God has given them, is grabbing the people by the lapel and is shaking them and says, I need to get your attention maybe one last time, but you might have ears that don't hear and you might have eyes that don't see. But now I want you to see how that section ends, verse 13. And though a tenth remain in it, or maybe only 10% will be left, it will be burned again like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. So there is a tree that has been cut down, but there is a stump that remains, and the holy seed is its stump. So Israel will be like a tree that is cut down, but a stump remains. They have been unfaithful. They have refused to listen to the word of God and his kingdom, and the tree has come down, but there is a stump, there is a remnant, there is a part that's still there. It's cut down, but there's something left, and what's been left, verse 13, is a seed that's been planted. Look again at verse 13. The holy seed is its stump. So there's a remnant, a stump will remain, and from this little beginning, something new will grow. A holy seed has been planted, which means that even though it has fallen on rocky ground, even though it has been picked at, even though it has faced spiritual and supernatural opposition, even though it has been choked out, that seed will ultimately one day bear final fruit. This is the passage Jesus is quoting when he tells the parable of the sower. Jesus knows that Isaiah's message fell on deaf ears. People were resistant to it. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. But now Jesus is saying, the seed that was planted, the seed of the word of God that was spoken through Isaiah, is now in his ministry, this is the link, coming to bear fruit. Now go back with me to Luke 8. And you'll be happy, you'll be so relieved to see this. If you're a bit lost, you aren't the only ones with questions. You aren't the only ones wondering what this all means, because even the inner circle, the disciples that Jesus had walked with and lived with, they are just as puzzled as we might be. Look in verse 9 of Luke 8. They're requesting some clarification. And they say, when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, see, you're not alone in asking for an official explanation. They're quite eager. Well, and then Jesus gives them the explanation of verse 10. To you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. And he quotes Isaiah 6 again. So Jesus says this parable is about the king and his kingdom, and the kingdom has secrets. The deep, hidden, mysterious secrets of the kingdom of God. And here is his shift. Those secrets, he says to this crowd, they have been given to you. They've been disclosed to you. You know their meaning. You know their significance. And there are those who hear this word of the Lord and they understand it. They get it. They see it. As far as that good soil, there are those who, hearing the word, hold fast to it with an honest and good heart, and they bear fruit with patience. There are some who hear that word, and they listen to it with honesty, with surrendered and open hearts. They hear the word, and they do what it says, and they respond in trusting obedience. And then Jesus says this, that word in due time, patiently, will start bearing fruit in a completely changed life. Over a long period of time, there will be a massive harvest for those of you who listen to this word and respond in trusting obedience. But then he says this, and this is that harsh word of warning from Isaiah, but now in Jesus' words, he says to other people, the word of God will be like a parable. It's brought alongside their daily life and they look at it, but it doesn't make sense. The penny doesn't drop. They don't get it. It's confusing. It's a secret that remains unrevealed, a truth that is still obscured. Jesus is saying there's two kinds of people. They all hear the same thing. They hear the word of the kingdom. There's some who get it, and there's some who don't. Now, if you look in verse 11, now Jesus gives his official explanation. He says, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And now he explains soil conditions 1-4. First ones along the path, they've heard the word, but the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. So they hear the word of God. They hear the word of the kingdom announced, but the devil comes. There's supernatural interference. The enemy moves in to take the word away, to snatch it right out of their hearts before it can even take root. Soil condition 2 in verse 13. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but because it takes no root, they believe it for a while, and after some testing, they fall away. Now, the rocky soil can take no root. This is, he says, people who hear the word of God for the first time, and it seems in the very beginning, there's some spiritual awakening. There's some spiritual interest. There's an initial enthusiasm, but it doesn't stick. They believe for a while, but then life gets difficult. They believe for a while, but then following Jesus gets difficult. And there's now no roots, so the life-giving water below can't be reached, so they simply fall away. Soil 3 in verse 14. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Okay, so now you're starting to notice a pattern. Jesus is talking about the word, but the word of the kingdom, and how it is going to be planted in the soil of human hearts. So now already, even though we're at only soil condition number 3, you notice that this pattern suggests that this is about how we listen to the word of God. This is about the disposition of your soul when you hear the word of God. And he says some people get distracted. They're just too busy for it. They don't give it the time of day. Or they're so overwhelmed with life and its cares and its daily challenges and its immediate concerns that they don't pay any attention to the word of God. There are more pressing things. There are more relevant things. And there's also the pleasurable things. There are more fun things, more interesting things. And so in that soil, the word takes no root. And then look in verse 15, soil condition 4. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. So they hear the word, they hold fast to it, they cling to it, they don't let go. It's not just temporary, a momentary hint of enthusiasm. And Jesus is addressing you in this parable, and he is saying to you and to me, what kind of soil is your heart? How do you respond to the word of God? When you hear the word of God, what do you do with it? And how do you respond to this? You could say that this parable isn't really about 4 different soil types as much as it is about 2 different kinds of people. There are those who hear, and there's those who refuse to hear. There are those who listen obediently and patiently to the word of God and who see what it means and are internalizing it into their lives. And there are those who don't. See, Jesus is drawing a line between the insiders and the outsiders. But here you have to be careful. The insiders are not who you think they are. They are not Jesus' biological family. They are not the theologians. They are not necessarily the religious elite. The insiders are defined solely by this. If you believe the word of God, when you hear it, you may be a prostitute. You may be a tax collector. You may be a thief. You may be weary. You may be sick. But if you listen to this word of God, then you are an insider. It's the outsiders who are smug, who are self-satisfied, who are righteous in their own eyes. They're stubborn. They're arrogant. They're self-assured. Now you become an insider in Jesus' family based on your willingness to hear. Will you obey? Will you listen? Will you trust? Now you see why Jesus is drawing a direct link between his ministry and his word and the response of people to his preaching and to Isaiah's prophetic ministry. Because in Isaiah's time, there were those who disobeyed, those who did not listen, those who stayed resistant in their disobedience, and the dulling of their heart had already happened. And both Isaiah and Jesus are shaking people by the lapels, and they say, you have one last chance, and this chance is now to listen and to respond to the word of God. And Jesus is saying, this word is growing, and it is going to grow. It may only be here in seed form. It may only be a little stump of a tree that has been felled. But the moment you hear it, the moment this crowd hears it, the moment these people, these disciples, put it into practice, there is a hundredfold harvest. The fact that you and I are sitting here 2,000 years later is as a result of this, the fact that these people heard the word of God and listened to it and internalized it. But the question, as I close, for us is very simple. Let's talk about your spiritual disposition, about your response to the word of God. Is the word of God in your life choked out because of the distractions, the busyness, the overwhelmings, the pleasures, the interests, the hobbies of your world that you don't even give it the time of day? And if you were to pay attention to it, then when you hear it, what do you do with it? I know for each of us this will land differently. For some of us, we realize my heart has grown cold. And I know that there are some things in my life that I need to do that I have been resistant to do. Some of you know that you have been nursing a grudge for decades, and the word of God has prompted you to repent from this and to ask for forgiveness or to extend your forgiveness to someone. For some of you, you may be dealing with decades of unforgiveness and bitterness and grumbling. And you know the word is prompting you to let it go. For someone else, it may be a lifelong besetting sin that has plagued you. Maybe an addiction, maybe an obsession. And you know that it is time to let it go. And the question is, will you now let it go? Will you let the word of God penetrate even in the midst of the thorns and the difficult and the hard things in your life? I know for someone else it might be that you have wronged someone. You have done something to hurt someone and you've never said you were sorry. You've never asked for your forgiveness. You've never attempted to make things right, even though you know that the Word of God is teaching you to do it. The question is, once you hear the Word of the Lord, what do you do with it? Is your heart open and soft and ready to surrender, ready to repent? Friends, listen to the word of Jesus. I won't take the sting away. He says, hear the word of the Lord. Hold fast to it with an honest heart, with a good heart, and with patience, God will see to it that you and it will bear fruit. Let's pray.